Before we dive into the sermon this morning, I got to give you a little context for what happened to this sermon. I put together the outline for this series about 3 months ago. A month ago, I just basic outline of all four sermons for this series. I was ahead of the game. I was ready. My normal practice is Monday morning. I have the entire Sunday sermon outlined in greater detail. It's just my rhythm. And then the rest of the week, I kind of sit with it. Monday came in. I already had the outline partially done. I detailed it out. I got to tell you, it was a humdinger of a sermon. I liked it very much. And then I had a meeting with a couple people from our leadership team that afternoon. And we were wrestling with some things, and it was really, really good. And at the end of the meeting, I went, that was fantastic. But by the time I got home, I realized that great sermon's going in the trash can. And Tuesday morning, I came in, wrote a completely new sermon. And I sent an email out to the team that met on Monday. I said, I like this sermon better than the one that was originally planned. And so the sermon this morning, you got to know, got dropped on me midweek. And I'm really looking forward to it. Because this morning, we're finishing our Jump Month series. During Jump Month, what we are doing is we're giving attention to the things that we really need to pay attention to going into this new school year and ministry year. And so if you haven't been able to be with us for the entire series, I'm going to give you a little review, the Jump series summary so far. If you're taking notes, you can fill some things in. This is the Jump sermon series so far. We are to be persistent in our following Jesus instead of simply being busy going nowhere. This is what we've been talking about in the previous 3 weeks. We are to be persistent. If you're here 2 weeks ago, we talked about that dolphin that was chasing after that fish for 4 minutes, and it kept on not being able to catch it, but it kept going and going and going, and there were distractions, but it kept going and going, and that dolphin was persistent. We asked the question, what happens to the dolphin that is not persistent? They go hungry, they starve, they die. And we asked ourselves the question, what happens to our discipleship when we are not dolphin-like in our persistence in following Jesus? We go hungry. Our discipleship begins to die if we are not persistent. We are to be persistent in our following Jesus. If you're here for the first week, baby ducks, quackity quack, we talked about the fact that we don't want to simply be a people that believe in Jesus. We want to be a people that follow Jesus. And we have to be persistent in our following instead of simply being busy, going nowhere. Last week, we talked about those flies on Lake Malawi. Lots of activity, not actually going anywhere. And sometimes we confuse activity for discipleship, busyness for transformation. No, we need to be more intentional. That's where we've been so far, which is taking us into this week. And I love what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love of all you have, that all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Sometimes it's helpful when you're reading a passage of scripture to read the same verses in other translations or paraphrases. Because that way, some words tend to jump out at you, or some ideas tend to jump out that maybe you missed the first time. So that was in the New International Version. This is how it's written in the Contemporary English Version. My dear friends, we always have good reason to thank God for you, because your faith in God and your love for each other keep growing all the time. That's why we brag about you to all of God's churches. We tell them how patient you are and how you keep on having faith, even though you're going through a lot of trouble and suffering. The Living Bible paraphrase says, dear brothers, giving thanks to God for you is not only the right thing to do, but it is our duty to God because of the really wonderful way your faith has grown and because your love is growing for each other. We are happy to tell other churches about your patience and complete faith in God in spite of all the crushing troubles and hardships you are going through. And then in the message paraphrase, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why, it's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that have come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches all about you. So here's an initial question for us. What can we say about the church in Thessalonica? So the Apostle Paul writes the church in Thessalonica, and just in those two verses, we can learn a lot about the condition of that church. So what can we find out? Paul is thankful for them. He's thankful for that church. The faith in that church is growing. The love for one another is increasing. And they have perseverance or persistence. So this is what we know about the church in Thessalonica just based on these two verses out of 2 Thessalonians. But here comes the million-dollar question. Would Paul say the same things about us? Would Paul say the same things about Community Covenant Church? Well, Paul was thankful for them. Would Paul be thankful for us? Tough to say. He's been dead for 2,000 years. And he didn't even know that this side of the world existed when he died. And so I can't tell you that Paul would certainly be thankful for us. He's not here. Would he say that our faith is growing? We are Community Covenant Church. The three words that we desire to have describe us are connecting, growing, and serving. So if I were to ask you to rate us, which one of those three words is our strength and which one is kind of our needs the most work? Connecting, growing, serving. 2 weeks ago, I was going through my Sunday morning routine, and at about 9:30 on Sunday mornings, I'm right here and I'm doing a sound check and I'm making sure the slides are all in the right order. And so 2 weeks ago, I was doing what I do on every Sunday, standing right here, sound check, checking that out, and a couple walks in the back. I didn't initially recognize them. I go, oh, visitors. And they're really early. By the way, visitors tend to be early. Just want to throw that out there. But they come in. I go, oh, visitors. But then I did a double take. I go, wait a second. I know them. That's Mr. and Mrs. McEwen, which doesn't mean anything to you. They're the parents of one of my childhood friends. We grew up on the same street. I haven't seen Mr. and Mrs. McEwen in almost 30 years. And they were on vacation, and they were coming down from Tahoe, and they wanted to go to Mike's church, their language. We want to go to Mike's church. And they showed up. And I stopped the sound check. I ran around to the back. Gave him a big hug. It's like, my goodness. So we spent time catching up. They say, hey, go do what you need to do. We can catch up after. And so they went and sat over here. And after the service, my wife and I were able to spend some time with them. A week later, I got a card from Mrs. McEwen. Her name's Linda, but she's Mrs. McEwen. And in her card to me, she said this: your church was so welcoming. We really appreciated their caring and interest. If I were to pick out our strong suit, I might say connecting is among our strengths. We do a good job of making sure people feel welcomed, and that enhances their ability to connect with God, because our primary place that we collectively connect with God is on Sunday morning. And because we are welcoming, we help people connect with Jesus. We do that well. Serving. We have lots of opportunities for serving. Parker Whitney, we're kicking into gear to help out Parker Whitney. We support missionaries. There are ministry teams. We do serving pretty well. But if I had to pick the one word that probably has the most room for growth, would be growing. It's the place that we could probably use the most attention. We need to give increased attention to having our relationship with Jesus grow deeper and deeper. We need to be increasingly persistent in our pursuit of discipleship. Paul was thankful for them. Who knows if he'd be thankful for us? I'd hope so. Faith is growing. Okay, we got some work to do. Love for one another is increasing. Would he say that about us? Are we persistent? Do we persevere? Do we keep going even when things are difficult? Or when things are increasingly comfortable? Are we persistent? Now, anybody that has been part of Jump Month at any time over the last couple of years is probably thinking, wait a second, Mike. During Jump Month, you talk about nature shows. And you have not talked about a nature show once this morning. Like I said, I had a really great sermon planned on Monday. But then on Tuesday, I went. Plants.
Vines and other climbers put all their energy into rapid vertical growth rather than girth, though they'll need to be well supported. The climbers' strategy looks chaotic, but there's method in their madness. Their growing tips circle like lassos, searching out anchors for their spindly stems. They put coils in their tendrils so that if their support moves, they will stretch and not snap. But the front runners at this stage, the first to fill the clearing, are pioneers like the Makarankas. Their immense leaves capture huge amounts of sunlight, so fueling their growth. As a result, the Makarangas grow a remarkable 8 meters a year, surging ahead of almost all their rivals. In the race for the top spot, hundreds will start, yet few will ever reach the finishing line. Their growth cut short by the diminishing light. In less than 4 years, the gap will have gone. But that's not the end of the race.
The narrator is talking about what the plants need in order to grow. So the plants will need, and then he goes on and he talks about a number of things the plants need in order to grow. Interestingly enough, what the plants will need are the same things that we will need. The things that the plants need to grow are the same things that we need to grow. Towards the very beginning of that video, the narrator says that the plants need support. In order for the plants to grow, they need support. So do we. We need support if we're able to grow. I was reading an article this week about discipleship, and the author said this, and I thought it was brilliant. Discipleship is a community project, not just a personal pursuit. You've heard me say it multiple times. A relationship with Jesus is personal, but it's not private. We do this together. We need one another in order to grow. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12 says this, two are better than one. There's a better return for their work. If one falls down, the other can pick him up. But pity the one who falls down and has no one to pick him up. Two people can stay warm together. But how can one person stay warm alone? One person can be overcome, but two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. In other words, we need other people if we're going to grow. You cannot do it alone. The plants can't, and neither can we. The second thing the narrator said about the plants that they need to grow is there needs to be a strategy, a method to the madness. Because it looks a little chaotic with their growing up. There needs to be a strategy. That same author that I was speaking of a moment ago, Goodwin Sathyanathan, I think I got his name right, he wrote this, make disciples, referring to Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples implies intentionality and process. Disciple making doesn't just happen because a church exists and people show up. It's a deliberate process. I love that. It's a deliberate process. It doesn't just happen because we have a church and people show up. So what does our process look like? How are we being deliberate when it comes to discipleship? One of the primary ways that we are deliberate is with small groups. Small groups is a great place to go deeper in your discipleship and see your relationship with Jesus growing. But when it comes to small groups, just because you're in a small group does not mean that growing is necessarily happening. Like he said, remember, discipleship making doesn't just happen because a church or a small group exists and people show up. It has to be a deliberate process. We have to invest in the small group. We have to be people that are working towards a deeper level of discipleship in the small group. So how do we do that? One other strategy that we have and is developing, discipleship Saturdays. Starting this month and happening in October and November in the middle of the month, first one's going to be September 15th, 14th, 14th, Saturday the 14th, is I think we're calling discipleship Saturdays. They go from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning. The purpose for them, it's designed for if you are one of the leaders in your small group, we'd encourage you come. But it's not just for the leader in the small group. It's for anybody else that wants to get more out of their small group. Because it's not up to your small group leader to make sure your relationship with Jesus is growing. That's on you. And if you're one of those people that goes, you know what? I've been in small groups. And you want to go, hey, I want to take another step. I want to take a little more ownership about my role in that small group. This is for you. And what's going to happen during those 2 hours? We're going to have brunch. Why wouldn't we? We will be talking about the sermon series because we're going to encourage for the next 3 months the small groups that want to follow the sermon series, which will be going through 1 and 2 Samuel. So it'll be some review and some preview in order so you're a little bit more equipped. We'll also be wrestling with some things like the benefits of a church-wide small group, practical tools for leading a discussion, how a small group can balance going deeper in trust and intimacy while being open to new people. It's one of the great challenges of small groups. As you go deeper and develop that trust, it's hard for a new person to come in. But if we're not welcoming new people into our small groups, so how do we do both things at the same time? How bells can impact the missional health of the small group, and we'll be praying for one another. That's what's going to be happening during Discipleship Saturdays. Speaking of bells, it's part of our strategy. It is an acronym put together by a couple of pastors in Australia. If you don't remember what BELLS stands for, BELLS stands for bless. The idea, bless a couple people every week. Eat, intentionally eat with somebody every week. For those of you that are doing 3-2-1, maybe one of your twos or one of your threes. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be intentional about listening to the Holy Spirit every week. Learn Christ, not simply learn about Christ, learn Christ. Develop that relationship with Jesus. And remember that we are sent. I meet with someone every Wednesday morning. And every Wednesday morning, we get together, we have tea, we check in with one another, we're going through a book together, but we always check in about bells. Which one of these five letters is most evident in your life this past week, and which one was most absent? And we just keep each other accountable with that. So our strategy, our method to our madness, small groups, discipleship Saturdays, because what we want is we want small groups that are regularly being equipped and being intentionally missional. And then finally, roundtable questions. Oh, back of your bulletins. They're there every week. Roundtable questions. I encourage you, find someone to do these questions with every Sunday before you get home. It will help you go deeper with what we're doing on a Sunday morning. So, support. We need each other. Strategy. This is how our strategy is evolving. And he says they're searching for anchors. The plants, in order to grow, are searching for anchors. What is our anchor? Right here. Our anchor is the Word of God. We are Community Covenant Church. We are part of the Evangelical Covenant Church. That is our denomination. From the very beginnings of the Covenant Church in the 1800s, one of the questions that was routinely asked in small groups as they were talking about faith and discipleship and theology is, where is it written? If you were to look at the six affirmations of the Covenant Church, the first affirmation is this: we affirm the centrality of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. The dynamic, transforming power of the Word of God directs the church and the life of each Christian. The Word of God is important to us. I don't know if you've noticed this. If you've been here for a while, maybe you've discovered the rhythm that we have when it comes to Sunday mornings. Every spring, during Lent, we dive deeper into one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Every year during Lent, we do that. And then later in the spring, we will go deeper into one of the letters in the New Testament or epistles. In the summer, there's a three-year rotation that we do in the summer. Last summer was Red Letter Summer. We spent time in the words of Jesus. The previous summer was Summer in the Psalms. We spent the entire summer soaking in the Psalms. 3 years ago and this summer will be Character Summer. Each Sunday, looking at a different character in the scriptures. And then every fall, we go through a book of the Old Testament. Why? Because the Word of God is really important. It is our anchor. And so we want to spend intentional time in God's Word. And as you heard me mention a few moments ago, starting next week, we're going to be diving into 1 and 2 Samuel, and that's going to take us all the way up till Advent. We're going to be encouraging every one of the small groups, dive into 1 and 2 Samuel. Who's ever preaching is going to be providing questions for each of the small groups that want them. If you want more information about small groups, after the service at the connecting wall, Titus McDaniel is going to be back there. And as soon as I can get there, I'm going to join him. So if you have questions, the best we can answer, we'll do that for you. And you can pick up a reading schedule that'll take you over the course of 3 months through 1 and 2 Samuel. And on the other side of the schedule are a bunch of questions that'll help you dive into Scripture better. Why? Because that's our anchor. We encourage you to make the Word of God your anchor. Support, strategy, anchors, and the ability to stretch without snapping. I love that. Those plants have to have the ability to stretch without snapping. If they didn't have that coil and the branches moved, snap. We need that same ability. We need to have some humility in our theology, some humility in our reading and interpreting Scripture. Because what happens when we conclude that we have everything all figured out? or our current conclusions need no editing. And then we're faced with something we haven't considered before. Snap. We're going through 1 and 2 Samuel, some of the most famous stories in the Bible. 1 Samuel has David and Goliath. 2 Samuel has David and Bathsheba. What happens to the person who goes, oh, I already know those stories. I don't need to pay attention to those because there's nothing new I can learn from something that I already know. Snap. There's a reason it's called the living word. I'm always amazed at passages that I've spent decades reading, and then I read it and go, I never saw that before. God has something new to teach me, and if I don't have that kind of humility, snap. We need to have the ability to stretch without snapping. And then it says that these plants need to capture huge amounts of sunlight to fuel growth. They have to capture huge amounts of sunlight to fuel growth. Did you know that there are benefits to sunlight? I'd forgotten this because for 16 and a half years prior to moving here, I lived in Western Washington. Our first year in Western Washington, it was in April, and on the radio, the person said that Seattle had just had its 100th sun minute of the year. They count the minutes. 3+ months, 100 minutes of sun. Yes, I'd forgotten that there were any benefits to increased exposure to the sun. Then I moved here and went, oh, that glowing thing in the sky, it's glorious. But I did some reading this past week about the benefits of the sun. Did you know that increased exposure to the sun enhances the immune system? I did not know this. Sun exposure eases mild depression. I had some friends in Washington that were counselors, and one of the things that they shared with me was that in March, April, and May, the number of people they see in their practices with depression-like symptoms would go way up because people had not been exposed to the sun as that was part of it. And did you know that exposure to the sun lowers blood pressure? The things I learned. Now, the narrator is talking about plant growth here. And as he's talking about plant growth and the exposure to sun, he makes a comment that is one of those ones that makes you go, ouch. Hundreds will start, but few will reach the finish line. Talking about plants, hundreds will start, few will reach the finish line. And then he follows that up by saying this, growth cut short by the diminishing light. How often is that our story? Oh, we get all excited, go Jesus, go God, and we're yeah, and we're fired up for God. But because we have not been exposed to the sun, our growth diminishes and we do not make it to the finish line. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we talked about Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The author of the book of Hebrews is writing to a group of Christians that were becoming tired. Following Jesus was increasingly difficult for them. And he writes them this letter and says, don't stop. Keep going. It is so, so very worth it. Keep going. And here I'm going to get a little cheesy. Stay with me. The plants need to capture huge amounts of sunlight to fuel growth. Here's my cheesy moment. I apologize up front. We need to capture huge amounts of sunlight, S-O-N light. Yes, it's cheesy, but it's true. Jesus, the light of the world, we need to capture huge amounts of him. We need to go beyond simply learning about Jesus. Remember the bells? The second L is learn Christ. It's not talking about learning about Jesus. It's about developing relationship with him, going much deeper. What's the Hebrew word that is usually translated to know? Anybody remember? Yada. And when it says yada in Hosea chapter 6, God says, I don't want your sacrifices and I want your offerings. I want you to know me. It's yada. He goes, I don't want you to know more about me. I want you to know me. Intimately and powerfully know me. We need to capture huge amounts of Jesus to fuel growth. And not more information about Jesus, but deepening our relationship with Jesus. And why? Because the end, this is not the end of the race. I loved how the video ended with him going, this is not the end of the race. In fact, this is just the beginning for us. This is just the beginning for us. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are. We're still on this race together. We want to be people that are growing, not a people that once grew. And so we will surround ourselves with people that can help us on our discipleship journey because we need that support. We will take advantage of the strategic opportunities designed to help us grow. We'll anchor ourselves to the living word of God. We will try and stretch because we want to be lifelong learners and growers. And we'll fix our eyes on Jesus because we need huge amounts of sunlight in order to fuel our growth. And maybe someday, someone like the Apostle Paul, when talking about Community Covenant Church, will say, my dear friends at Community Covenant Church, we always have good reason to thank God for you because your faith in God and your love for each other keep growing all the time. That's why we brag about you to all of God's churches. We tell them how patient you are and how you keep on having faith, even though you're going through a lot of trouble and suffering. Let's pray.